welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, everybody. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. Today, we have such a fun follow-up. So as you guys know, I have this part of a series within a podcast that I do called Real Time Heal. I conceived of it many years ago where I said to myself, why don't I just bring people on who want a therapy session with me if they're interested and willing to have the session on air and to help other people through their example? Let's see if anyone in the world would want to do it. And I just got an onslaught of thousands of emails of people who wanted to do it. And little by little through the years, I've been picking out stories that inspire me, stories that I feel like are super challenging, and stories that include different symptoms and diagnoses, because I know even though TMS is interchangeable and one man's migraines is another woman's stomach issues is another man's back pain is another woman's pelvic issues, we are all doing our best, fighting the good fight, but no matter what we're doing, it's nice for people that I've heard to hear about their symptoms. So I'm always picking, you know, trying to have a potpourri of different ways that TMS is presenting. And back in November of 2019, I got a lovely letter from a young girl. I call her a girl because I'm old now. She was 27 at the time. And her name is Ray Zaragoza. And she was a recording artist and a musician and a performer. And she was struggling so badly with vertigo and migraines that she was currently on tour, living her dream, and they would have to have garbage cans right off stage for her to run and get sick because she would just spin, and she was having light sensitivity. And she had one bout of vertigo that lasted 3 months without letting up, and she was in absolute despair. She found Dr. Sarno's work, which led her to mine. And if you're interested in going back and listening to the original Real Time Heal, that is episode, that is season one, meaning like the beginning of the podcast, and it's episode 57. So if you want to look that up, Ray Zaragoza, and it's called Vertigo and Migraines, Real Time Heal with Ray. So that was the first time I ever interacted with Ray, and she is a warrior. And that sentence will mean something even more profound as the podcast goes on. She's amazing. She's just turned 30. She is living absolutely a life of freedom as a result of this work, and she is not shy to say it. And so I decided to check back in with her and hear about what's happened since our Real Time Heal, hear about how she lives the work. And it's a really inspiring story. So I'm just excited to share that with you today. And other than that, if you are interested in what Ray's talking about, she references a lot of material that is in my online course, Freedom from Chronic Pain. It was a real game changer for Ray. So if you're hearing her mention that stuff and you are curious where to find it, just go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, and it is under the courses tab, and it is Freedom from Chronic Pain. It's my foundation work, and it offers original videos, audio recordings, art therapy exercises, readings, writing assignments. It's the way, if you need me to hold your hand through this work, it really feels like I am. And you can do it at your own pace because everything is recorded. So you are on your own, and it is, but you're not on your own, but you're really with me. And Ray was, I guess, incredibly healed by that. And I don't even think I knew that until I interviewed her today, but just wanted to point you toward it. And also to let you know, if you are interested in more personal help, you can join my online membership community. It's a private group where we help each other every day. And we have a 3-hour Zoom every month together and a 1-hour hangout Q&A. So anything you are interested in getting, you can find at my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. All right. Well, it has been such a pleasure spending time with Ray, and I cannot wait to share her again with you. I bring you an incredible story of healing with Ray Zaragoza. Hi, everyone. Today we're here with Ray Zaragoza. Welcome, Ray.
Hi, Nicole. I'm so happy to be here.
So happy to have you here. So for those of you who heard the first episode that I recorded with Ray, it was already a couple years ago. Her story was pretty significant. And I love following up with people and seeing how their lives blossom and evolve and are just like, I love hearing why the pain opened the door, what the pain opened the door into, and reflections after. And in full disclosure, Ray and I have not caught up, so I'm going to learn everything alongside you guys. But Ray, I would love for you to start with your story just a little bit, catch people up on what happened, how you got into this work, and then we'll go from there.
Yes, amazing. Hi, everyone. It's so incredible to be here. Wow. So I was on the podcast in 2019. We did a real-time heal. And at that time, pretty much between 2019 and the end of 2018 into 2019, I was struggling with pretty severe vertigo spells and migraine-associated vertigo, ringing in my ears, tinnitus, just wild migraine symptoms that were super horrible. Just having these vertigo spells that would last anywhere from 1 week to 3 months. And at the time that I reached out to Nicole, it had gotten to the point where it was not going away. It was not something that came and went. This vertigo spell was lasting about 3 months and just persisted and just never wanted to go away. At that time, I had actually a fan. I'm a musician, a music artist, and one of my fans, who's now also a friend, reached out to me and referred me to Healing Back Pain, Sarno's book, which opened me up to Nicole and your podcast. And I did your course online. I read your book. I got so into the TMS mind body healing world and just threw myself headfirst into it. It all made so much sense to me. And basically, over the course of the past, let's see, that was 2019. It's 2023 now. So over the course of the past 3 years, I've been healing myself and through your work from these migraine and vertigo. And it's wild because now I talk about it and I don't even associate myself as someone who struggles with migraines at all.
Right.
You know, whenever I literally was going to go to an acupuncture place and they had you check off what you suffer with and they had migraines. I didn't even check it off. Like, I don't suffer from migraines. Yeah. I haven't had migraines in years. I haven't had vertigo in years. But at that time, I felt like it defined who I was, who I am. Like, I am Ray and I have chronic vertigo, chronic migraine. So it's just so wild to think about that. And yeah, sure. You know, I get a little pain here and there, like maybe a little tension headache here and there, but it's my relationship to it is so changed. And now it's like, oh, like a little reminder, maybe I should take a nap or maybe I should journal or just become more in touch with myself. But that's pretty much like the cliff notes of my story. And then, you know, before I met you, Nicole, I started taking, real stock of all the symptoms I had suffered throughout the course of my life. I've always identified as someone who runs anxious. And so when I was a kid, I actually experienced some burning mouth stuff. I experienced chest pains. Oh my gosh. A thing where I couldn't swallow that we talked about, so many things. But it was the migraine and the vertigo that really pushed it over the edge for me, where all I thought about from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to sleep was, I don't feel well. I'm in pain. I have a migraine. I have vertigo. This is hell. And during that time, I was actually touring. I was working. I was a musician. I was a public person, as I am now. And it was horrible. I was totally brought to my knees. I was in a very, very dark place mentally. And to see where I am now is really humbling and emotional. And the gratitude I feel for you, Nicole, for your work, and just for this whole journey. Like, I am grateful for what I went through. I'm grateful that it brought me to your work. I'm grateful that it's brought me to a whole new place of self actualization. And so, yeah, that's how I'm here.
To set it up, I wanted to remind you, or I'm sure I don't need to remind you, but kind of let everybody know that one thing I remember from your original story, from your Real Time Heal, is you would be performing on stage and you would have like a garbage can if you had to throw up.
Yep.
Like that's extreme. Yes.
Oh yeah. It was extreme. My first time playing the Troubadour, which was a huge life milestone. I dreamt of playing the Troubadour my whole life. I had the worst vertigo and migraine that day. It was sold out at the Troubadour. I was opening for this band, Rising Appalachia, and their tour manager told the sound people, if you see her run off stage, bring the house music up as loud as possible so they don't hear her puking off stage. Like that's how bad it was. And I was at this point in my career that I couldn't say no to these tours. I felt like if I stopped, I was going to lose a bunch of momentum. And so even when I was feeling just at my worst, I showed up and I did the shows. Yeah, it was bad. It was so bad. And I almost can't even remember how bad it was. I was listening to our Real Time Heal today, honestly, just to kind of remember what it was like to be in that. And I look back and I feel two things. I feel very grateful for how far I've come, but it also is almost a little scary and almost like I don't want to hear about it because I do feel I still can sometimes struggle with a little bit of that, like, you know, like lowercase PTSD of like what I went through and like not really wanting to talk about it or think about it. I mean, I went through a whole year for sure after I had really come really far with healing, that whenever someone else had vertigo, I did not want to talk about it with them. I didn't want to hear about it. I didn't want to help them. But now I've come to the point where if someone says they have vertigo, they have a migraine, I'm like, how can I help? What can I do? I've been through it. Like, let's talk. But there was definitely a period of time where that like fear was still there and it still comes up.
So Ray, talk to me about what happened after the Real Time Heal, because we saw each other once. I did come to one of your shows in Philadelphia. Super fun. My best friend and I went, and it was really, really amazing. And she's incredible. And so talk to me about what happened, because when people come to a Real Time Heal, they obviously come because they've gotten a certain amount into the work, but they feel like they need some help. So what at the time were you needing, and what did you get from it that made your journey a little bit more profound?
Yes. I think that at the time I did the Real Time Heal with you, I was at this point with myself where I had full faith in the mind-body connection. I understood, I was in a really good place of understanding. But I was in this place of wanting to be better now, very much. I was like, and I would email you after that being like, okay, I know it. I know, like, I know all these things in my brain. So why aren't I at 100% better yet? And I was still in this like kind of place of perfectionism, this place of urgency to be better. And that I think I had to slowly move on from very, very slowly over the course of the next year. So I think at the time of the Real Time Heal and shortly after, I mean, I got to maybe like, I don't like putting numbers to it, but maybe like my pain had gone away like 85, 90%. It was so gone. But then there was like this lingering 10% that stuck around for like a year. Yeah. This kind of lingering tension headaches that would come up on my right side, like every few weeks, or just like a little bit of tinnitus, or just like these little kind of like sprinkles of pain that would come through. And I took them very personally and I was very upset about it because I was like, I've done all this healing. I'm so committed to it. I felt so like I deserve to be fully healed. that last 10% really set me on like a real, almost like spiritual journey of realizing what does it mean to be fully healed? And as human beings, we're always going to deal with pain. And every time I emailed you, you would tell me, you're good. You're fine. You're healed. Like you can't care how you feel. Cause that care and that taking it so personally is what's going to keep it around.
Let's sit and talk about that for a minute, because this is a huge, huge topic. And I am always saying, and I'm always saying, I'm so sorry, but the nervous system perceives your desire to be different than you are as fear. And so if you are always like, I need to be better, I have to be better, that kind of urgency, that's just dumping more into the reservoir, more TMS, more TMS. So what finally, because I do, now that you're reminding me, I get a million emails, but I remember writing me and I remember giving you that stock answer, which is now it's time. You've done the work. You're continuing to do the work. Now it's time to go live, run free in the fields, like, you know, and whatever way that means to you, and allow it to be however this goes, it's okay for me. But it's so hard. And I feel for people when they struggle, because I struggle too when I'm in something that I don't like. Like, we're all human. It's nothing to do with a person being an expert versus a person being, you know, a patient. Like, it's, we're all in it. How did you find, like, do you have any idea what brought you finally surrendering, laying down your weapon, not self-pity that you weren't better enough, not feeling urgency to be different? Do you remember anything that went on around then?
Oh, yeah, there were a lot of things. I think one I will say is I had to challenge all of the ways I was like kind of subconsciously not actually fully having faith in the mind-body connection. I think I was still like almost like secretively restricting what I was eating, because I was like, well, maybe this food thing has to do with my migraines, or I was like there, or I stopped drinking completely and still had like this fear of alcohol, which I still kind of do, that I'm still working on. But there were a lot of these other things in my life that I had to challenge. It was almost like I had to take action and really tell myself, okay, you know, I love to roller skate. And sometimes when I do a spin, I would like, oh my gosh, what if I get a vertigo? It's like, I had to do those spins. I had to eat that food that I told myself was going to give me a headache. I had to like look fear in the eye over and over and just like almost surrender, but in a way that was like with such joy. I was like, I'm going to just throw myself into joy and take action in those ways where it's like, oh, this kind of thing actually scares me, being in a dark club where there's strobe lights. Like, I need to just challenge myself to do these things. And that really broke me out. And I realized like, oh my gosh, I have to constantly be like looking that fear in the eye and being like, you do not run my life. And those little things that set me free. But also the thing that set me free most was just whenever the pain came up a little bit, being like, oh, hey friend, I'm so glad you're here. Stay as long as you want.
Yes.
I'm like, you're my friend, like literally being grateful for it. And now whenever I get a headache or anything, I'm just like, oh, like this, honestly, I think that whenever I get like a little bit of some kind of like symptom imperative or pain, it's because I am healing deeper. I'm getting deeper in my healing. And this is just like, it's bubbling up because it's like, oh, you're about to heal more and I don't want you to, because it might be scary. And I'm like, it's okay. You can stay. I'm still going to heal. It's all right. And that's really like between taking action, looking fear in the eye all the time, really seeking joy, and then treating my pain as a friend more than a foe. That's really what helped me.
The most amazing advice, and I don't know if you came up with all of these things on your own or you've been listening to me say it, but one of
them,
it's like amazing though. It's really amazing to have, because when I teach and when I speak and when I do this podcast, it's all, I'm so in the moment. Okay. So I know the things that need to be said, but I'm never like thinking, what did I say last? I'm just like really right here. But to hear you just list off some of like the top hits, like the most important guys, listen, if you're looking to get rid of, you know, the vestiges of your pain, what Ray just laid out is the way. Surrender, acceptance, seeing your body and your nervous system as your brain as partners in healing, not as adversaries, huge. So, and I love what you just said, which deepens it, which is like, if I'm getting a little symptom imperative, wow, my healing is actually inviting me to go deeper, which is a cool way to frame it. So If you're comfortable sharing, and you don't have to get super personal, however personal you want to get, what are the big things that you feel like you've had to heal from?
Yes. Wow. I love this question. I mean, in our real time heal, we talked about some of the really big ones that I've had to come to terms with. One was coming to terms with my childhood of feeling like I kind of associated being sick and pain with attention. And yeah. I lived in a very crazy, like hectic childhood. I lived in a studio apartment with my 5-person family in New York City. Both parents worked. We're a showbiz family. I've been a performer since I was a kid. And I always felt like the way that I got full undivided attention from my parents was when I got to stay home and I was sick. And I remember even when I was a kid, I saw someone had broke their leg and they got to stay home and everyone was like tending to them. And I was like, I wish I could break my leg. Yeah. And I had to come to terms with a lot of that. Also recently I've been really coming to terms with, codependency and how much that has played a part in my life, anxiety, and how much that has played a part in my pain. And, what else? I mean, a lot of it has had to do with perfectionism. A lot of it has had to do with perfectionism and this need to be perfect, this need to be well, taking any little tinge of pain in my body personally, like if I feel anything, that means I'm bad. Or if I, you know, experience anything that's not perfect and beautiful and just pure, that I'm bad in some way. And that has made the pain when I was dealing with headaches always get exacerbated because I would start taking the pain personally and I want it to go away because I want to be perfect. And honestly, since the real time heal, one thing that I've really been healing from that has significantly changed my life is healing from an eating disorder. And this is something I've dealt with on and off for my whole life. When we were talking during the real time heal, I did bring up a talk about restrictive eating, but, the pandemic is really when a lot of people who struggle with eating disorders got it all really blew up because you were isolated and it was very easy for those things to come back up. And I realized once I was healing the headaches and I kind of got deeper and peeled back the layers of the things I was dealing with, at like a real core layer of it was anxiety and an eating disorder. And I realized that I was using and the eating disorder almost as like this kind of similar to the migraines. It was this way of avoiding my emotions. I could, instead of dealing with my emotions, I could obsess over my body, over food and things like that. And over the past few years, since I've been really jumping into intuitive eating and self-love and joy and really unpacking how perfectionism has also affected not only pain, but also this pain of an eating disorder, I have been so set free. And yeah, so that's like the long-winded answer to your question. But I think since we talked at a real time heal, the thing I've been healing from most is disordered eating.
Thank you for bringing that up. Actually, it's really in the zeitgeist lately. A lot of people are asking me about disordered eating and how, this work can contribute to healing it. And, you know, it's definitely not my wheelhouse in terms of like, I've never worked specifically in that area. But of course, when we look at what young people can control, there is so little that young people can control. And the one thing above all is what they do to their bodies, which is why it involves food, it involves cutting, it involves either isolating, overworking at school, or totally zoning out and not doing school. Like that's the only thing a kid can control. And so it makes complete sense that eating disorders are just a symptom imperative.
Yes.
So I love the idea that you said you're set free, because of course, everything, word freedom is on every page of my website. It's everything I want for people, because there is no such thing as being happy. You know, there's also no such thing as being sad. Happiness and sadness, all emotions are moments, but there is such thing as being free, because free is something you can be when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're despairing. It doesn't matter, because you can be in truth, in alignment with yourself and just be present with the emotion. Wow, I'm having like a super sad day. Today's hard. Doesn't mean you're not free. So talk to us a little, because it's great to just enter it into the conversation. What does it mean to practice intuitive eating? What does it mean? How does it go hand in hand with this work? How might you have used journal speak, you know, in the whole mix? Tell us a little.
Yes. I mean, truly anyone listening who struggles with disordered eating, the way it's so similar to dealing with physical pain, like a migraine. It's so similar. My relationship to the two things are so similar. It's wild. So basically intuitive eating is pretty easy to explain. It's getting back into your body, getting back into your actual hunger cues and, what your body needs at that moment, how you feel, if you feel hungry, if you don't feel hungry, you feel full, listening to yourself and what your body needs. And for someone who's struggled with disordered eating, that is like a wild thing. You never look to your body for what you need. You're always looking to your head. What would be good to eat right now? What has less calories? And you get really dissociated from your body, very similar to how I would feel with a headache, where I would feel so dissociated from my body with my stress and anxiety that like a headache would come in, almost like trying to get my attention, like come back into your body. And so healing from the headaches and from the eating disorder, is both of which have been just to start getting back into my body. Intuitive eating is all about learning to listen to your hunger cues, learning to listen to your body again, which is a long process. It's not just like a decision. It's a long process. I've had coaches help me through learning how to listen to my body. And I've definitely used journal speak. I think that as I continue healing, similar with the headaches, you get so closely acquainted to the things that trigger you, or to the thing, like you just start to understand the formulas. Like whenever I would have a stressful conversation or a confrontation or something come up, I'd get a little bit of a headache. Mm-hmm. And then I could tell myself, oh, don't worry. It's just the confrontation. You're fine. I know that that stresses you out, brings you anxiety. You're good. The headache would go away. Similar to obsessive eating. It's like, oh, I have something coming up where I have a big photo shoot, or have something where I want to control the way I look. That's when I start obsessing. Oh, it's just that photo shoot coming up. You're fine. You are going to look great no matter what. No one cares. Like, you're beautiful. And then I'm like, okay. And then the obsessive eating goes away. So the journal speak has helped me through both of them, because I mean, you said this in our Real Time Heal or some other time about taking that ladle and like taking it into your emotions and then dumping it out every day. That has helped me with the obsessive behaviors around food and with the headaches. So anything that's in my heart, I just feel it. It's as simple as that. And I feel it on the page, and I give myself full allowance to be free and to experience it and to write about it. And I think that for someone like me, who is maybe like a very TMS like archetype of a person, perfectionist, very avoidant with emotions, it can take many, many months, maybe even over a year or two, to really almost train yourself when you feel emotions to let yourself feel them, instead of running to that behavior or having your brain give you a headache. But once you get into that flow, it's freedom. It's literally freedom. And I don't journal every day anymore, but I do journal most days. But I feel like I've gotten to this point where it's like, oh, it doesn't have to be so rigid of every single day I'm meditating, journaling, because I've reached this point of freedom where I know when I need it. And I know when I'm like, oh, I have a busy day, it's okay. Like tomorrow.
You know, what's wonderful about anything that works is hearing it being described over and over and over by different people in the same way. Like, what's magical is I'm talking to Ray, your sweet baby. How old are you now?
I just turned 30.
Oh my goodness. She's just a baby. Yes. I met her 26, 27 years old. Yeah. And, you know, I believe you come from Native American culture. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so, mm-hmm. maybe have a 27-year-old when I met her from the Native American culture, and then I can have a 75-year-old woman from India, and they can tell me the same story in almost the same words, because and that's what's magical. And on the flip side, I can have two people that are completely from different backgrounds tell me the same despairing story with the same. And what's beautiful is the despairing story, I give the same advice, and we come to this place of gratitude for the pain of saying, journal speak. I mean, it's not a life sentence. I do it when I need to. Around the headaches and around the obsessiveness about the food. I mean, it's really beautiful. So let's stick with journal speak for a moment. When you started doing it, maybe because people are always asking me questions about journal speak tips and like guidance, how did you work, or did it come naturally to dip into the deeper places? Because this is one of the things, I have a membership community that I'm running. Do once a month Q&As where like we just hang out and they all like kind of pop up and ask me questions. And one of the biggest conversations yesterday in our Q&A was, I'm thinking my feelings, I'm describing my feelings, but I don't feel like I'm feeling my feelings. Do you have any insight on your journey about how that was for you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm like a compulsive journaler. I love to journal. I always have. So I think it might've come a little bit more naturally to me, but, and I'm the kind of person where I'm like mortified if anyone finds my journals, because I've always gone deep in there and I don't want anyone to read it. But I think for journal speak, what really helped me was, I think it was a part of your course where you had us make all the lists.
Yeah.
Personality traits or maybe triggers, family things. And I think for someone who maybe struggles with opening up on the page immediately, the lists are really helpful because it's almost like creating prompts for yourself.
Yes.
And I think that those lists, and for me, the number one thing was listing these personality traits about the perfectionism and the goodism and all of these people pleasing and these things that I got to kind of dig into in journaling. I was able to go deeper within myself because I started at that place of listing it out. It was almost like, it was easier to go there because I had already kind of prompted myself. And I think what's really good too with journaling is start to become a detective with yourself when you get triggered. I mean, have a note on your phone. I always, whenever I get triggered by something, I write it down, and it's almost like, okay, future journal speak for tomorrow, I should journal about this because something is triggering me. And I don't really know why, but maybe it'll help me to journal about it. Also, the thing number one that helps me most is to really see it through with like the full 20 minutes of journaling. I think it's really easy to bail at 10 and not go deep. But I think that the first 10 minutes of journaling are kind of getting out like the gunk. And then you really kind of get to the deep stuff in the last 10 minutes. So I always set a timer and like, don't let myself off the hook. So I definitely suggest that, to journal the whole time.
I agree so much. Like sometimes it's like 17 and I'm like, damn, there it is. It's so
always
I know that at one point, and I don't know if you wrote this song for your journey or you wrote it before, didn't you, like, was it called Warrior or something? Like, what was did you write that because of your pain, or did you write that before and it just like applied so much later on?
I wrote that right before. I mean, I think that it was a part of like a pain healing journey, because I wrote that song about anxiety. And so then the anxiety turned into vertigo and migraines, but I wrote Warrior about dealing with anxiety. And I mean, I was getting anxiety that was so debilitating that I didn't want to leave my house. I didn't want to show up to things. I didn't want to be in group settings. I didn't want to eat meals with people. And to the point where I like looked myself in the mirror and I would just be like, you're a warrior, over and over again. And then I wrote the song Warrior, which is on my last album, Woman in Color. And music is a huge healing place for me. It's almost like an extension of my journal speak. And I think in your course as well, there are a lot of different artistic mediums for people to use as a place of funneling your emotions. I think, yeah, like sometimes some people struggle with journaling. So if you struggle with journaling, like, I mean, the drawings that I did as part of your course were so helpful for me, and music for me is so healing. So I definitely encourage like all artistic mediums to be a part of your healing journey.
I agree. I mean, it's been a long time since I had any chronic anything, but actually even before the pandemic, I was just kind of going through a period of my life where I was feeling uninspired. And, you know, my work is often about just like disseminating the same information because it's just timeless.
Yeah.
And so like I'm up here, you know, having very similar conversations, which I'm thrilled to have because it's people need to hear the repetition and people need to hear it from different voices. And, you know, and that's definitely the truth. But I think at the time, what I needed was something to inspire me outside of my work and outside of my parenting, which is like takes up 90% of my life. And I just started painting, and I am not a talented painter. I am not like a person who has ever done anything with art, but I just started painting, and I will tell you, it changed my life because it just
opened
something up in me. Yeah. And I did one series. I became obsessed with octopuses. People think it's octopi, but it's actually octopuses.
I love it.
Or if you're going to do the Latin octopodes. I just painted this whole series of octopuses. But anyway, the only reason I'm saying it is because I do agree with Ray, and I want to encourage you, like, if you're struggling with your journal speak, I don't want you to give it up. I want you to push to the 20 minutes, but add something artistic, anything. Yeah. No, I mean, like, even if you're just taking a walk in nature and you're like picking up beautiful rocks or leaves or like making with something that makes you feel creative, maybe a collage or, you know, anything. It doesn't have to be like fine. It's really helpful.
I love that. I think for me too, I've realized that, I think for a while I like was very stuck in my head, even with like the healing where it's like, okay, I feel the pain. And then I want to think of the reason it's going to go away. Like, oh, I remembered this one thing from my childhood, or, oh, this one person triggered me, or this thing, or the blah, blah, blah. And then I was getting so literal with it. And then I realized, I'm like, no, like sometimes you're going to feel pain, and what's going to make it go away is not something literal or whatever. It's like, there's parts of healing like that are just less literal. Like it's like the painting and the music and the things that they may be healing things in your body that you feel no pain from, you know? And I really realized that. Cause I think also where I was when we did our real time heal was very much like, I wanted to do your work and I wanted to heal to make the pain go away. That was the goal. And now I feel like I want to heal without a goal in mind. I just want to heal and to feel good and not even just feel good, but just to, cause I love it. Cause it's fun. I love walking through nature. I love making music. I love journaling. I love going deeper into my spirit. I love uncovering parts of myself that I didn't know were there. And once I kind of started healing without condition, I got farther with it. Cause when I was just like, I got to heal so I don't feel headaches anymore, it was almost too much pressure on my body. You know, it was like,
That is such a point. So, I mean, I'm often telling people don't be attached to outcomes, and that's what I'm hearing. It cannot be outcome dependent or else it makes you crazy. And it also sends more fear to the nervous system.
Yeah.
Well, this is all such great conversation. I can't help but ask, are you anywhere near a guitar?
Yes.
Grab it. Oh my God. She didn't even have to like stretch.
I have to get up.
Oh my gosh. I love your voice and I love your, and I don't know if you want to play Warrior or what, I don't know. Play us something.
I'll play Warrior.
Okay. Awesome. I would love that.
And while I'm playing, I will humble shout out. I am releasing a new album on August 11th. I'm not sure when this is airing, but whether it's before or after then, I have a new album called Hold That Spirit that comes out on August 11th. And then I'm doing a whole US tour in October and September. So I will be back in DC and Philly, somewhat close to you, Nicole. Yes. But yeah, to all your listeners, if you want to come hear me play. And also, I didn't tell you this, Nicole, but on my fan page, on my Instagram and everywhere, I get messages all the time from your community of people asking for guidance and advice about the symptoms I dealt with. And I just want to open up those channels to everyone. Like if, and I know it does not just if you've dealt with vertigo or migraines, like whatever, like if you just need like a cheerleader to like, just send you that message of like, I promise you're going to be fine. This work is going to change your life. Feel free to message me anytime. And this is Warrior. This is for you, Nicole, and for all of your listeners.
Spent my summer in a van, St. Augustine to Michigan. Held my breath, said a prayer. All those people waiting there, I've been searching so long. It lived in me all along. Burn me in the desert and drown me in the rain. Throw me to the thunder, push me out of the plain. I don't feel afraid anymore. I'm a warrior. Bright lights, sharing tears, thanking grace for bringing us all here. It ain't lonely on the road when there's love everywhere you go. I've been searching so long. It lived in me all along. Burn me in the desert and drown me in the rain. Throw me to the thunder, push me out of the plain. I don't feel afraid anymore. I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. We are warriors. Burn me in the desert and drown me in the rain. Throw me to the thunder, push me out of the flame. I don't feel afraid anymore. I'm a warrior.
Oh my God. I'm so glad I made you do that. I was, it just,
me too.
It just hit me the second before, and I was like, that girl has a guitar not far.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We're in my studio. The guitar is right here anytime. Oh my gosh. It's so wild playing that song now through the lens of thinking about it as a song about kind of my healing journey, because it's kind of a running joke with like some of my best friends that like my songs can like tell the future. Uh-huh. Like I've written some songs like that, like end up like completely spelling out exactly how my breakup's going to go down and just like kind of things like that. But I feel like that song almost like told the future with my healing, because that lyric, "Bright Lights, Shedding Tears," I mean, you probably remember, but my biggest fear and my worst part about the vertigo was the light sensitivity, and I hated bright lights. Right. And so that lyric, I listened to it, I was like, oh wow. And about, you know, I don't feel afraid anymore, I'm a warrior. I'm like, this is all about mind body healing.
I think when I came to your concert and you played it, I'm like, well, obviously it's all about her being healed. And I'm like, wait, I think she wrote it before.
It's so wild how that happens. I mean, it's all related. It's all connected. And
Thank you for that. That was such a joy for me. It sounded beautiful. And thank you so much for coming on today and updating your journey and dropping some serious knowledge about what to do and how to do it. And just like Ray said, her channels are open. I'm going to put her contacts and her Instagram in the show notes. And I'm really looking forward to that tour. And to be honest with you, I'm looking at my calendar in my mind. This podcast is going to drop probably first week in August. So right before your album release. So everybody, Ray's work. And I'm just thrilled for you.
Oh, thank you, Nicole. Thank you, everyone. Feel free to message me anytime. Check out the new album. A lot of it has themes of healing. A lot of it has themes of recovering from a breakup. I was talking to Nicole about how I went through a pretty brutal breakup. I was engaged and then we broke up shortly after. And this was about 6 months ago. And I was so afraid that my vertigo, my migraines are going to come back going through this really tumultuous time in my life. And I'm like so happy to report that because I allowed myself to journal and do journal speak and to just feel my feelings, like I got through that without diving back into any physical pain. And so this work sets you free and it sets you up to be able to handle life better in the future. And you only have to heal once. That's what I keep telling myself, that I love that you say all the time, Nicole. You only have to heal once. And that's how it feels. Like now it's just like second nature. And me and my headaches or me and any physical pain in my body, we're just friends and we know what to expect from each other. And, you know, as I get older, I'm sure other things will come about, but I feel so much more equipped to handle whatever life throws my way. So I'm just so, so grateful to you, Nicole. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do for all of us. It's so, so important. Thank you.
Well, I couldn't give you a bigger, you're welcome. And I'm sure everybody out there got tons from this interview. I certainly did. And as I always say, if you are enjoying the podcast, please hop over to iTunes and rate and review it. It helps other people find the podcast. It helps people like Ray, people who are in the midst of living hell, find their way into healing and doing the work. So that's amazing. And until next week, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. And I will see you then. Bye-bye.